Continues in fellowship. It'll be a very short introduction this morning because I want you to turn directly to Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. So if you would open the Word of God and see what it has to say to us this morning. And as I'm reading this, I want you to ask yourself a question. What does the text say that the church continues in? Acts chapter 2 verse 40 says this. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I want to pray again, but this time I want to pray in accordance with the Word. I want you to pray with me. It's not going to be hard to be able to see what's contained in the Scripture, but it's going to be necessary that we ask God to bless us this morning. So let's pray together. Father, we read your word. And on my account, Father, I'm thankful that it is easy to understand. It is clear what's going on in Acts. There's no mistaking that there's a continuance of your work. And it produced some things in this church. Father, I'm going to pray for this morning that the hearers before your word this morning will consider what it is that is what the Holy Spirit does in the church, and would ask that every single one of us this morning would ask, is this really what we see going on? May your word be our guide, and may your spirit direct our steps, and may we be steadfast in this. It is my prayer for my own soul, and definitely my prayer for the group of people that are here this morning. In your name. Amen. So it's not hard to see, right? It's not hard to see when you read our text that they were continuing in. And I love this, where they were continuing steadfastly in doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. You will find it's not hard to follow me because we're going to work through these together. We handled doctrine last week, and for this week, we're going to be handling fellowship. And the question I have for you is related to this is, when you read this and you hear these words about what's going on, before we go too far, is there something within your soul, and I say in meaningful words with this, is there something, and I say within your soul, that says, I long for this. This is what I want. It's a personal question. I want you to think, well, what would be the evidence of that? How do you know that this is really what you're longing for? I don't know what state you've come in this morning. I don't know if this is how much your soul screams out and looks for this, how much you're craving it. But I want it to be, before we close out, to be a position which your soul is crying out to you when the Holy Spirit is saying to you, this is what you should want. And I even say, regardless of where your heart is currently, I want to give to you, I want to walk through them verses of Scripture to say, this is why. This is why it should be. See, this is the position the church has. The church does not get the right to regulate morality, do we? That has not been given unto us. We are not the one that has that ability. But we have been given the instruction to teach people. This is why your heart should long for these things. That's our responsibility, which God has thankfully given unto us. And what I want you to know with that is, as you look into what is happening in Acts, we've said it's a clear narrative, and so we're slowing down a little bit to handle some of these things, because what we see in Acts, this is exactly what is going on. So why is it happening? And the first thing I want you to know, and we've said it many a times, but you're going to hear it over and over and over again. Our study of the book of Acts is a study of the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. I want you to see how the Holy Spirit works. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Just listen. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. So listen, I'm talking primarily to audience of believers. And what you know, without, hopefully without any question, is that when Christ came into your life, you became a new creation in Christ and old things have passed away. I'm not talking about perfection here, but there is a change in desires in the heart of a believer. It's a promise that's been given to us by God. It's a covenant in which He's made with us, that He will put His desires into our desires. So when we understand that, when we look at what goes on in Acts, we have to say this. This was not 3,000 plus people coming together and figuring out how to make this happen. This is not our approach. I will not lay out for you a good, firm foundation of this is how we're going to do it on our behalf. It's going to have to be. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when that happens, somebody says, I need God to give me the instruction. And so the reason they were continuing steadfastly is because God revived their souls from being dead to alive. And so with that, it had a natural following of some things that were going on following after that. Immediately, as we talked about last week, is that doctrine had to be a resource for life. This morning, what we're going to see is how does fellowship become a resource of life? And how is fellowship exactly what the Holy Spirit will produce in a church? How do we know what that looks like? Well, foundationally, I'll just tell you that God is working here. He's worked for fellowship in the past. He's working presently. He's going to work in the future. He is working to produce fellowship. Sin is always working against it. That's the reality. But God is always working towards fellowship. And if we can see when He's doing something, I promise you that everywhere we see God doing these things is that He will provide the instruction. So today, again, we're just going to work through this. And again, I'm just going to ask you again, is this what you long for? Do you long for the fellowship that should be there between you and God and what it should look like in the church as a whole? It's has many places to it, has many parts to it. If fellowship, I'll just say, I don't want to go into a lot of details about what it is not. But we could spend an ample amount of time saying what it is not, right? There's a lot of things out there that can produce fellowship in the world. If you're kids, if you grew up with kids, and they like a certain sport, well, listen, you can have fellowship through sports. You really can. You can spend, matter of fact, honestly, you can spend most of your life following some particular team, going from one city to the next. There's a lot of things you can do around that and have what I would say would be a sense of fellowship. You can have fellowship over hobbies. I was talking to Blaine this morning. I didn't know it. He likes to duck hunt. I've never duck hunted, but I love to hunt. And so there's a fellowship. If you get around a guy and he wants to do certain things you like to do, there's an immediate affection there of some common things there that says, hey, look, that's something I would like to do. If you have a very fast car, I haven't looked around, there's probably a couple out there, not many, but if you have a sports car and you get me behind the wheel, and you say, hey, you can drive in any way you want to, we have a fellowship together. I will want to drive fast. Just the way it is. There's all kinds of things out there that create fellowship. Do you long in your soul for real fellowship? I know you do. Here's how I know you do. Believer or unbeliever, I promise you this. Every soul longs for real fellowship because God has created us as a communal being. It is in the nature of the human race. Every single person that has ever been created has been created to long for fellowship. Let me help you out with another thing. It's another reason I know this. You know, we say, you want to go out and talk to people. Hey, I want to teach you to have a relationship with God. You know, hey, I want to teach you. You've heard those terms, right? I want to teach somebody how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me help you out with something. They already do. Every single person is in a relationship to God. He's created us that way. We are either in a relationship where His Son and the blood of His Christ covers over us and we are in a harmonious, in a good relationship, or we're in a relationship where our sin is remaining upon us and He is dealing with us as being separated from us. But He is always and always dealing with us out of that relationship because He's created us for us for that reason. So the misnomer that people are not in relationships with God, we should go to them and say, listen, I just want to talk to you about your relationship with God. And they're like saying, listen, man, I don't believe in God. Well, you may not believe in Him, but you're in a relationship with Him. And that's why I'm concerned for you. If we can understand that we have been created this way, then we can start to work through some text of Scripture that will teach us what it looks like so that we can have true fellowship with Him. This is where I want to go with you this morning. I want to give you some sections of Scripture, and this is limited. Listen, guys, I'm just letting you know, what I'm going to give you today is just a small amount because God has filled His Word with what it means to relate to Him. It's full of it. The Old Testament is full of it. Relationship. How does He relate to His people? It's through all the pages of Scripture you will find this is who He is and this is how you relate to me. So what I'm going to do is hopefully skim through just some of these so you can walk with me in your mind. And here's the end goal before I leave. That again, your soul says, I need more. Your soul says, I'm desiring this type of fellowship. One of the first places I want to turn with you is Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. Let's just start there. Revelation chapter 3. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. I do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you, listen to this, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with the eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Listen to this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the invitation. There's many things contained within that section. But let me just let you hear this. God stands at the door and he knocks. He, as far as relationships goes, he is standing at the door and he is knocking. And he's saying, listen, if you will open the door, what does he say to do? I will come in and I will dine with you. What an invitation to fellowship. The first part of fellowship, because most of the time when we read Acts, we understand that they're talking about fellowship amongst themselves. The first fellowship that has to be established, have you answered the call that Christ is before you and he's knocking? If you have not answered that call, if you are here this morning, if you are here today, and I'm telling you that you have never answered to the call of Jesus Christ knocking on your soul, I promise you this, he is knocking. Every single one of you, every one of us has heard that because you've either responded to that or he's still knocking and you haven't responded. But I promise you he's knocking and he's giving you examples in your life all around you to show you, say yes unto me. And I will come in and I will dine with you. What an illustration. Now, I get it. Listen, when I think about Christ, I'm coming unto him. I'm his child. But when he speaks here, I love that he says, listen, open the door. Open the door and I'm coming to dine with you. What kind of fellowship is that? If that's not the craving, if the craving is not open the door to Christ in my life, then anything else I'm going to say this morning will be meaningless. It will not matter. It doesn't matter to have people that you can talk about fishing, hunting, football, shopping, whatever those things are. That's not the fellowship that our soul is longing for. But when we open that door and we say, come on in, then Christ comes in, and as he works with us, it is a glorious fellowship. So that's, if you're taking notes, I want you to consider that is the first part. The first part we have to begin. The second thing I want, and I'm just going to hit some bullet points now, and I really, there's many places in Scripture I could go to, but listen, let's jump over to 2 Corinthians. I want to walk through 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And when I would just pull out some instruction for you to be able to hear what fellowship looks like. Again, understanding the first principle of the fellowship is with Christ and Christ alone. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting in verse 12, this is what I want you to understand, fellowship, as related to others as well. Regard no one in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:12 says, for we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you an opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. The reason I say regard no one according to the flesh is because it comes from this right before that. He died for all, and we should no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died for us. We are to live for Christ. And when we live for Christ, this is what happens. When we are living for Him, no one is regarded in the flesh. Everyone will be regarded through the eyes of Jesus Christ. You know why that's so important? Hopefully you've seen it. But you let somebody deal with you. And let's just say this. People will deal with you on a fleshly level all the time. All the time. You will find situations where it should become more and more evident to you. So-and-so is dealing with me in the flesh. And here's the only difference I want you to see for this morning. Where is it? Where is it that somebody deals with you according to Christ in your life? And I'm not trying to do this. I'm not trying to put homes where people are saying, hey, listen, I really wish my spouse would do this a little better. I wish my kids would do this a little bit better. I wish my pastor would do this a little bit better. I wish the people in my church would do this better. I wish the people at my work would do this better. This is your calling. The word is to you. Regard no one according to the flesh. What it means is do not see them in the light of that. See them in the light of Christ. And you will understand that the ministry of Christ starts to move to every single one of those circumstances we just talked about. If you can see them in the light of Christ, now you're starting on the right road to how to have true fellowship. Because your fellowship was with Him, you see people through His eyes, and you respond to them according to that. I will tell you this, the greatest things, the greatest people in my life have dealt with me according to Christ. You know what that looks like? There's a lot of things that can look like. Let's just say right up front, can that be words of encouragement? Absolutely. Can it be words of reproof? Absolutely. Can it be, I'm just trying to off the top of my head, can it be coming alongside of me, bearing some of my burdens? Absolutely. Speaking Christ into my life links me back to true fellowship. For that, I gain a relationship and I gain fellowship with somebody else, but my end goal is Christ. Those are the people I hold in most highest esteem. And those are the people I try to keep around me because they're speaking life into me, because they're looking into my soul. Regard no one in the flesh. Matter of fact, stop regarding them according to the flesh. There's all kinds of systems that you can try to apply that the world is teaching you to regard someone in the flesh. I could go on with examples. Probably won't give you many. When someone does you wrong, you will find that maybe one of your greatest opportunities to minister to them through the lens of Christ. There is so many. When somebody does something right, that can be one of your greatest opportunities to say, thank you for being an example of Christ in my life. We must, listen to me, we must use these words. Please begin to develop this. Let's just say from this to not regard someone according, or if we're going to regard everyone not according to the flesh, but according to Christ, start using the words. I thank you for being an example of the Word of God, of Christ, in this situation. You follow me with that? If we do not insert those words into our conversations, then nobody will ever hear, and they may just think it's a religious principle, right? Thank you for what you just did. I really appreciate you ministering to me. Good words. Put the Word of God and put Christ into those. And thank people or explain to them, this is how I see you in Christ right now. It's amazing. I've had a work in construction. I can't tell you how many opportunities for a subcontractor to treat me absolutely wrong. I mean, it just comes up over and over again. Thankfully, God has sharpened my mind at times. For some that have just, we've gotten to the point of to the nth degree, we're like, listen, we've got everything we need. We're not going to fire them. We're going to back charge them and get into their pocketbooks for what they owe us when we get somebody else. There's been times where we stopped for certain individuals and said, you know what? What would it mean to speak grace into their life? What would it mean to actually pay them more than what they deserve because they're about to go under regardless? I'm not saying I've done this right at all times. I'm just telling you, you want to get to true fellowship. Regard no one according to the flesh. Serve Christ in that. Second thing, go to verse 18. See what our ministry has been given to us. Now, all things are of God, who's reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that He might become the righteousness of God in Him. If you want to understand true fellowship, you have to understand that the ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. There has to be reconciliation. It's void everywhere else you look. The world does not have a ministry of reconciliation. It's not there. Just in your mind, just think out about what the world looks like. How many conflicts that are out there. How many things that where sin has come into the world and says, hey, listen, I will destroy this relationship. I'm going to destroy it. So many things just get absolutely destroyed by sin. If we're going to have fellowship with Christ and we're going to have fellowship with others, we are going to be reconciling them to Christ. We have the only ministry in the world that has the power to reconcile. Nobody else has that power. And any level of reconciliation that the world has only been by the goodness of God just to make sure that the sum stays in the world. The reason that we haven't blown up every country in the world and every country hasn't blown each other up is only by the good hand of God to keep us from doing so. Because the work of sin in the world would have everything blow up. And we see it all around us. The church has to understand our fellowship comes because we have the only ministry of reconciliation. So now, where does your thoughts go? You want to have fellowship with one another? It's on reconciliation. You want others to be involved in that? It's a ministry of reconciliation. That's what it is. I love that it says this. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You hear those words? God through us pleading to be reconciled. When somebody doesn't want that, the consequences are going to be there. Consequences even relationally. We should never lose the heart of I am pleading with you on this behalf. Then, when it doesn't happen and somebody's not behaving the way we think they should in a reconciliation, that can be again. It can be your spouse, it can be your kids, it can be your work, all kinds of things. What do we go back to? I have fellowship with Christ, and my ministry from Him is reconciliation. That's what He's given us to do. It is a ministry. Just continue. You can see we're just skimming quickly through some of these things. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10, as I want you to hear this. He's called us to work together. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, "We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, 'In acceptable time I've heard you, and the day of salvation I have helped you.' Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And then what we're going to see in this next couple of verses, if we are going to work together, listen, if we are going, listen, I'm saying this, I'm asking you, if we are going to work together for the ministry of Christ here, what will it look like? What does it look like? Does it always, man, when we see about this, they were steadfastly continuing in fellowship. Let me tell you something. That was a work. It became a work. Because even as they had it, they found out later they had to defend it. They had to go back to it. There's always a defense of this. It's never that the Holy Spirit now has come into us and we understand that now in this world that everything is fixed anew and aright and there is no issues. So what does it look like? Let's read. "We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God to you," is basically where it's at. We are praying that we have no offense, that we may not be blamed in this, and we commend ourselves, commending ourselves unto you. You see that process? I'm commending myself unto others. You know what will wreck ministry? You try to do it unto yourself. Anytime you have an agenda and you want to do it unto yourself, I'm just telling you, you will mess up ministry. Commending yourselves by, it's been given to you, a stewardship that's been given to you by God, which you have. You have ministries. Every single one of you have a ministry by God. As it comes to you, you take that and say, "I've got it, and I'm being commended unto somebody else." I've talked with people that have a difficult time of, where is God going to use me? What is God doing in my life? Where is God going to use me? If there's not a connection to somebody else in your life, then God's not using you. He's always going to be pulling you to commend yourself. As you commend yourself unto Him, it's always going to be towards other people. Again, it's communal. It is going to be communal. So that's what He says. Listen to this. "And much patience in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and," listen, "dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things." If you cannot define what your fellowship looks like to each other, and I mean this, and to me, by these terms, we might be missing something. And some of these are attacks from outside. I do get that. But internally, the fellowship will understand these things. The fellowship of God will understand that this is inherently built in every single one of these things will point us back to God. Every single one. Every one of those things. Now, we would love to define fellowship this way. It'd be an empty way to define it. But we would love to define fellowship in a way that looks like the world. It's creeping in, guys. It's creeping into our doors. Fellowship of the world wants the church to look like the world. And it wants, that's the kind of fellowship, if that's what it's based upon, they will be satisfied with it. If you go to the world and you say, this is what true fellowship looks like, they will tell you, I don't want anything to do with that. I'll take a couple of those. But man, the list seems like it's got some tough stuff in there. Every single one of those things, as Christ works through those, He has empowered His church with a great amount of joy in every single one of those. And sleeplessness. And you mention it, and imprisonment, and stripes and tribulations, and patience. The tribulation. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to make an assumption that you're going to have an opportunity to exercise true fellowship. It always works for me. As soon as I preach on something or I'm studying through it, I've always got the opportunity. And it's almost, I won't say comical in a sense to put it to that degree, but I can just tell you when the Word of God comes, then it's like God says, okay, now, here's what you got. So you're gonna learn from me, because that's what it is. Again, if we see, let's just say this, if we see the movement of God in Acts, this is what He did, then He's going to provide the instruction of this is how. And so now here what we see is, we see the movement of God in Acts. We're adding some instruction, which He does even later in Acts. In your life, what I want you to do this, is I want you to confess one thing, and I'm just going to tell you something right now. I see the work of God. I thank You for it. I thank You. You are sitting here today, and my heart is in joy because You're here. I love You. You have given my soul a great amount of encouragement. It has nothing to do with the amount of people, but is just having more people, or the right people that love the Lord, that I can see that gives my heart joy. I love, not even that, I love to be able to tell people in all honesty about the length of the church, and to say that when I talk to people about our church, I get to say, I am a member. I don't introduce myself as the pastor most of the time. I am a member of a good church that loves the Lord. I love that. You will have the opportunity to apply this into our fellowship. You will have the opportunity to, and I would take these and even into your home. Because see, let me just say this. When we talk about this organization, we say that? Let's use a different term. The body of Christ. When we talk about the body of Christ as He pulls us together as to function as one body, let's understand something. We are not a member of the body of Christ that's just seeing how we relate here. It won't be just here. We are members of the body of Christ, and it's our whole life. Everything we're doing is related unto this. So it is, when you respond to somebody at work or you respond to somebody at family, believe it or not, that is directly related to the body of Christ. It strengthens the body. And sometimes we think, sometimes the organization becomes too much of what is seen by the walls, by the sign, by our doctrinal statement. It is seen in those instead of seen, listen, I am in fellowship with Christ out there everywhere, but I'm tied to the body of Christ. On a side note, I've thought about this because I'll be the first one to tell you that obviously I love my church. But I'll tell you something I've delightfully seen is that the body of Christ, that I've got people that have come down this road. I've got my great friend Joshua Dean stopped in here one Sunday on vacation. He's one of my best friends right now. And I can tell you he's ministered to me because he's a member of the body of Christ. See, it is not just the Shepherd's Church. I don't believe it is. But if we're going to see the work of Christ here with true fellowship, we will have to understand this includes all areas of our life. Every area. We got to go a little further. The next section, verse 11, says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship together with unbelievers? For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of living God, and as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Understand something. We're called to be holy. We're called to be separate. You're a unique group of people. Now, for some of us, when we hear those words, we think that's unattainable. But I promise you, the fellowship with Christ is perfecting you. He is pulling you and He's chastening you and He's cutting away what does not to be there. You are this morning in a process of something being cut away from you. There's only one true vine, and the vine dresser is at work on you. The vine dresser is at work in your life. Let Him go to work. Let Him do His work. Cut it away. Get rid of it. It will affect your fellowship with Him. And it will affect the fellowship of this church. It will. And it is screaming out all the time to try to do that. So how you consider your life before Him and how you treat that issue between you and Him when everything is off or whatever, just between you and Him, how you deal with that affects your fellowship with Him and the fellowship here. We're called, He says. He's called us out of this world to be holy. We are a unique group of people. I encourage you with that because I've seen that if you neglect that, it just flat out hurts. It hurts. And I don't want to see that in my own life or in yours. So what can God do? Keep reading. But what can God do here? And I mean that. What can God do here? What is the Holy Spirit actively doing here? You have to go back and answer the first question. What does your heart long for? Are you longing for true fellowship? What is the evidence of that? Right? I cannot produce that. Can't do it. I'm have an inability to produce that within the soul. I can just give you what the Word of God says. This is what it should be in your life. And if it's not there, and the longing does not grow, then there is a serious problem within our walls. We are the temple of God. He resides there. The Holy Spirit is working to create that fellowship. So if you are struggling, let me just say this in closing. If you are struggling in this area, stop. Open the door. Right? Do not sit here this morning and beat yourself up for what you are not doing this morning. Repent is what we tell you to do. Turn from your sins and get in fellowship with Him. He's not telling you this to keep you down. He's telling you this because He wants you, because He's created you for fellowship. And if you're neglecting that, or there is something that's keeping you, then I appeal to you as if I could, through the words of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you to enjoy true fellowship with Him and to cut out the stuff that's not. Come back into fellowship. Long for it. Pray for it. Read for it. Speak it to one another today. Speak it. Find it where it's at. Right here within your relationship. Speak the words of what true fellowship looks like. Redefine our language. I mean it. It was said a couple weeks ago. It was just said last week after we were here that somebody said we need to be speaking these words to each other. This is what we need to do. We need to speak. Our language needs to change. You follow me? You with me? You want to have fellowship with me? You want Christ to be in here? And we're going to say He's already here. Let's not say we're not. I'm making the assumption He's already here. I can see it. We're going to praise Him for it. So be happy. Look, be joyful. It's here. God's doing a work. And hey, look, sometimes I do get really strong. Let me just say this in closing. Sometimes I get really strong because I feel the pressure that I know that if you neglect what is in there, then I realize I know the effect's going to be here in our midst. And so sometimes I feel this weight upon my own soul. We got to get it right. We got to get it right. And I come across to you. You got to get it right. Can I say too? Can you just love God and knowing that He's given us the right instruction? Can you just enjoy that with me? Can you enjoy your fellowship with Him? And if something needs to be dealt with, deal with it today. Just get it right. Come see me. Or hey, have I said before? Come say, look, I want your study. Can I have 5 minutes in here? I want to shut everything else out. I want to get something right. Do it. Open the door. If you need help, that's what I'm here for. I'm here for that. I'm not going to tell you I would love to say I've given my absolute best in every single part of ministry. I would love to say, as He says, I give you no offense. I don't know if I can accurately always say that. I know I can't because people have told me where I've offended them. I'm here because I fellowship with Christ, and I want a fellowship. I want you to help grow me in my fellowship, and I want to help grow you in your fellowship. That's where we're at. That's the meaning of the work of the Holy Spirit that's going to happen. Let us pray for this to happen. Father, I'm going to ask first of all, Father, that if someone has not been reconciled here this morning, if someone has not opened that door, Father, today's the day. They have a group of people here. I have so many people that I know that I could step totally aside that is not dependent upon me to take that person who wants to follow after Christ and be led in a discipleship process towards you. They're here, Father. Or if they're hearing me, if you're hearing me and you haven't said yes, today is the day. You need to understand this ministry of reconciliation, there is a problem. And I'm begging you to come into fellowship with Christ. When I close, do not hesitate walk towards my office and I will be there for you. Father, pass that, the ones that have made that decision. Remind us this morning that first of all, our fellowship is with you. That is primary. If we want to grow in fellowship to one another, we have to grow in a fellowship to you, because it is a work of your Spirit that cannot be mimicked. It cannot be organized. It is a work of your Spirit. Grow us to you. And then, with the foundation of your word, following your instruction, let us see that we're passing those tests of how to relate to one another. Let us encourage, let us correct, let us guide, let us teach, let us all kinds of things, Father. It is my prayer in your name. Amen.